because the other reality of it is, like, we're not really missing out on anything right now because nothing's going on, you know? Like, a lot of projects, a lot of projects have been canceled. And so I think I'm trying to focus that as establishing myself as an engineer, because you can pick up engineering ideas and techniques and, like, all of these great knowledge in a bunch of other industries, and then just apply them to the themed entertainment industry and make it better and make it more fun.
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman. I am obsessed with the guest experience and helping attractions make that their top priority for success.
And I'm Matt Heller. I am passionate about organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and employee engagement.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
It's fantastic, Josh. How are you?
Always a great day when I hear that fantastic from you.
Well, and you've heard it twice today, so hopefully it's a really great day.
Can't wait for the third time.
Well, it is fantastic because we have some really special guests today.
We do. And in fact, to introduce who our really special guests are, I think we should back up a little bit. And a few months ago, at the time of this recording, we hosted a webinar specifically on called Networking in a Pandemic. And one of the things that we announced at the end of that webinar was that we were looking to expand our team and offer a mentorship internship program specifically geared towards young professionals. And we got an amazing response from that. And what's very exciting is we have several of our new team members, really, who we are going to have the chance to talk to today, and that you're going to have the chance to be able to see and to listen to from some of our new Attraction Pros interns.
And what's so exciting, and I'm so glad that these folks are now part of our team, because they can surpass us in so many different ways, right? Part of the reason that we did this is because we wanted to bring more people into the fold, but also to kind of reinvigorate us creatively and get some of their ideas. And so to hear from some of them in terms of their graphic design and their video editing and, you know, all the different ways that they have, new and exciting ideas that we could never come up with, or it was way beyond our capacity to do. It's just so fantastic. And so today we get to hear from five of them, and we're going to hear from the other ones on a later episode, but we get to hear from five of them about some of the things they're going through right now as young professionals.
Right. It's definitely a very unique time to be a young professional in the attractions industry, or, well, really in most industries these days, to be starting your career in an industry that has just taken a huge hit, obviously, and we don't need to get into the details or specifics. We've done plenty of that in previous episodes and previous content. But what's going to be really unique about this is hearing how these young professionals in the industry are staying engaged, that are keeping hope and are making very good use of this time to hone their skills and really set themselves up for a very successful career ahead as the industry, continues to, you know, rebound and emerge from the pandemic into 2021.
Absolutely. And it's quite frankly an honor to be able to work with them. And that's kind of where the mentorship piece of it comes in. So they are helping us, you know, expand our brand and helping us do some things that, again, we don't have the capacity to do or do as well, certainly, as they do. But in exchange for that, we will help them either make connections or work on certain things that they can do as young professionals to present themselves well in certain situations. So we look forward to that opportunity, and certainly all the great things they're going to be able to do as attraction pros.
Yeah. So our quick request then to our audience is, as you're listening to this or as you're watching this, You know, take note and pull up LinkedIn and add them and reach out. And, you know, and these are people who are looking to continue to make connections within the industry. So to give a quick introduction to the individuals we have on today, we're going to be chatting with Fabiana Fonseca, Kate Kajawa, Megan Gannon, Paige Ryder, and Sam Bursick about, like I mentioned, what they've been doing to stay involved and stay engaged throughout this very interesting time in our industry and in our lifetimes.
And here we go.
Well, hey, everybody. It is great to see you all here on this lovely Zoom meeting, Hollywood Squares game, whatever you want to call it here. Great to all have you here. So this will be a really interesting conversation and video for what we'll be able to talk about today. There's definitely a lot of talk in the industry about what it's like to be a young professional during this time, whether those who are students, those who are recent grads, those who are just getting started in the industry during what is probably the most obscure time to get started, probably in most industries, but you know, the attractions industry in particular. When I think back to when I started my career, I graduated college in the summer of 2009, which, if you all remember, was just the absolute bottom of the, you know, financial crisis. You know, things started to come up shortly after that, but it was also a very obscure time. And I feel like this is substantially even more awkward or more obscure to be, you know, beginning a career. So what I think would be a really important topic to talk about today is what you are all doing to stay motivated, to stay involved, to stay connected, and maybe even share some tidbits for what other professionals out there in the industry can do when either looking for work or looking for new jobs or looking to develop their career, or for those who are in the position who are hiring, who are looking to bring on talent in the near future as, you know, as we start to emerge out of the pandemic. So let's just start with this question right here. And whoever wants to take it first, feel free to take it. But let's talk about just kind of starting with, how has your career been impacted by the pandemic? So would anyone like to start with that one and shoot out of the gate?
Go ahead, Kate.
Okay. Yeah, so that's a loaded question, I'm sure, for everybody on this call. But I got the best news of my life and like the worst news of my life on like March 15th or something like that. I was on spring break and I got an email from my college saying that classes were going to be online for the rest of the semester. And then I also got an email from Universal Studios Hollywood saying, congratulations, you just got a full-time mechanical engineering position. And so it was, again, it was a roller coaster, you know, but it was crazy cool and crazy fun, but also just really gross. And so throughout, I was still planning to go to Universal, you know, July came, I started my job, and then I worked for about a month or so, and then was placed on the furloughs from, you know, the big Comcast company, and I was then out of the job. And so I was in Los Angeles, I had moved all my stuff out there, I'd gotten a roommate, like started my first big girl life, and was kind of reeling back from that and trying to figure out, okay, now what am I going to do? So then I just started applying everywhere. I applied to jobs at breweries. I applied to jobs in the space industry. Like, I applied to so many different types of industries because my industry was dying. The industry I love with all the people I love, it was hurting. But I think right now, as 2021 has started to progress, we're seeing it come back and jobs are starting to open up again and theme parks are starting to open up again. And it's a beautiful thing to start and see it, I guess, rebound from that. And I think it's a great positive motivation for people who are looking for jobs now to get back into the industry and try and find the new normal, I guess, which we all hate saying, but I think it'll be a good new normal. And we've learned so much from COVID so far. So that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Paige, I think you wanted to go as well.
Well, way to adapt, Kate, and stay positive during a very, very challenging time. I can't even imagine. I was a little bit luckier in that I've been in the automotive industry since 2016 myself. No. And so that industry, while impacted, wasn't impacted as hard. And I'm trying to make the jump into themed entertainment, and had secured my first internship with Universal Creative. Was going to be working on Epic Universe, but alas, it was also put on an indefinite hold. So kind of how I ended up getting back into the automotive industry, and kind of staying put for now, and kind of having to take a little bit of a different path, staying connected to the industry in different ways than I had originally been planning. So.
And that's kind of where I'm at too, is like staying connected, even though you're not necessarily a part of the industry, because like my path is definitely different than everybody else's here. I went to art school and I have no engineering training. I am just an artist. But I realized after graduating in 2018 with a digital media degree that I wanted to do themed entertainment, and I didn't want to just be sitting in a desk looking at a screen all day, and I wanted to do something more with my hands. So it's been a process of trying to figure out how to get an artist background into more of an engineering focused job. And so that's definitely been a struggle, especially now because the college experience is so different. So it's like, do I want to apply to college right now, knowing that everything's going to be online and it's not going to be the hands-on experience that I want? Or am I like, do I apply to all of these different jobs? Things like that. So it's been difficult that, of course, the 2020 pandemic collided exactly when I decided I wanted to switch industries. So it's definitely kind of like what Paige said, in terms of I'm having to stay in a little bit of a different industry, but still stay connected to the industry that I want, which is the attractions.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You make a good point there about wanting to stay in the industry, or at least stay connected in the industry, while also making sure that you're able to, you know, to find work, even if it has to be outside the industry. So curious as far as some ways to be able to stay connected to the industry. Obviously, Attraction Pros, of course, is one of those
yes,
ways.
Yes, of course.
But maybe some, you know, some other ways that you're able to stay involved and stay connected with the intention of coming back into the industry while taking a slight detour.
One of the ways that I found I was able to really stay connected was through LinkedIn. That's really the only social media I'm on, and I try to keep up with it every day and check in, because you really do, based on who you're connected with, you'll see, you know, what's going on with other people, and you can kind of see trends for jobs and who's hiring and who's getting laid off, unfortunately. And I really just during this time would reach out to random people and try to connect with them and introduce myself. And the worst that could happen was they either say not interested or they just ignore me. So I really, really use LinkedIn to try to get to know more people, try to expand my network, and also try to learn skills. You know, if you have access to LinkedIn Learning, that's something that is also a really good tool. And LinkedIn is actually how I found the Attraction Pros and how I was able to get involved with this. So I would highly, highly recommend getting involved in the industry that way, because it's mm-hmm. virtual and it's safe. Mm-hmm.
I got involved a little differently. I got involved with like some of the conventions. I heard about Ames International, which is one of the major conventions in the industry, along with ASTM and IAPA, but more focused on the learning side, especially teaching mechanics and electricians to get their yearly renewal. And it was their first time leading online, and they needed some moderators and some help with the online integration. And I was like, before this, I've ran a lot of communities before online with around the world. Like one of them, I used to own a gaming community that had over 2,000 members from 78 different countries. So I kind of just sent a blind email. I was like, to this lady named MJ. I was like, hey, so I've done moderating before. You know, like if you need help, you know, like here's my resume, here's my number. And, you know, I got a little call back, and here I just helped set up, you know, like this whole convention, getting moderators. Paige was one of my amazing moderators, and getting a lot of these like kind of young professionals in the industry. And then also kind of because the industry, you know, like, so that's my connection to the industry. And I didn't want to like also just kind of stop working. I go to a very engineering school that is, they want you to work like almost every semester. They really want you to like focus on that. Like, you know, whatever your dream is, go get it. But, you know, you need experience and like kind of learn how to pull you up and like have your feet on the ground. So I kind of I had an internship in spring 2020. Unfortunately, did not end so well. I was at Disney World. I had a very awkward experience, to say the least, when it came to April. So I decided I needed to get skills that are relative to the industry. Like Paige mentioned, she's in automotive. I've changed to automotive as well. And I've also done some work in kind of consumer products and about to do some more work in the medical industry just to get some experience of, hey, I did not step engineering. And then when these perks will open, I'll have the resume of, hey, I didn't stop. I'm not going to wait for you. You're going to wait for me.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And I think that's something I'm starting to also learn, because the other reality of it is like, we're not really missing out on anything right now because nothing's going on, you know, like a lot of projects, sadly, a lot of projects have been canceled. And so I think I'm trying to focus that as establishing myself as an engineer, because you can pick up engineering ideas and techniques and like all of these great knowledge in a bunch of other industries, and then just apply them to the themed entertainment industry and make it better and make it more fun. It's not.
Oh no, of course.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good point.
Little tangent, because one thing with a bunch of workers, when I tell them, oh yeah, I was an engineer at Disney World, you know, they're like, sometimes it's either like, oh, that's the coolest thing I ever hired, or like, how much engineering do you really do at Disney? Like, there's engineering, I know about Imagineering, but that's, you know, different. Also, I keep calling it Imagineer. I'm like, technically not that. But a thing is just like, what people don't notice, because I use a lot of robotic arms, like Fonk arms and stuff, and I'm like, well, let me take Harry Potter Forbidden Journey, for example. That is just one large KUKA arm. Some madman at Universal went up to like some manufacturing equipment. And you're like, hey, you know that thing that we use for soldering cars and grabbing giant equipment and moving it 5 feet? Let's duct tape children to that. And
see,
someone...
I didn't realize that was used outside of theme parks. I thought that was invented for rides.
No, it's a manufacturing staple. That's how, like, if you need to move anything, it's like manufacturing 101. If you need a robot, you get a Fonk arm or a KUKA arm. We use them every day at my plant. I've been programming them. I'm the worst person at holding that dead man switch. That robot's probably fought it. It's killed me 40,000 times already. But like, I'm telling these people, I'm like, yeah, so this is exactly how Forbidden Journey works. And they're telling me the story about somebody with one of the companies did that, where they were fooling around and made a seat at the end of the arm. It got blacklisted just because they weren't themed entertainment. And I'm like, no, that's actually a $1 billion idea. People were like waiting like 24 hours to get in line just to ride this like 4-minute ride.
Say, what I love about that is the innovation that is behind that, and just kind of the, hey, let's try it. Let's think about, you know, something a little differently. And I think we've all had to do that. So I think one of my questions for the group is, how have you had to think about your life differently? You know, whether it's moving back to a certain place, or, you know, you've mentioned already kind of moving into different industries, but just kind of things that you may have thought were going to be your career for a long time, and now you've got to completely rethink that. So I'm curious about how that thought process has changed.
I mean, at least with my thought process is what I use with a lot of examples and stuff is, I'm going to become an engineer first, an Imagineer or whatever, theme park engineer, whatever rolls off the tongue better later. Because at the heart of it, at least for engineering, it's, I want to make something that is the safest process possible and also the most efficient. And just because I can't do that right now in theme parks, I can use the same technology that I'm using in, let's say, automotive, which sometimes it's literally the same exact technology. You're just using it in, I guess, the intended purpose by the company.
So I'm curious then, as far as the specifics, because Sam and Paige, you both mentioned starting in themed entertainment and then switching into automotives. And, you know, it's one thing to identify, okay, we need to make this shift right now because of the state of the industry. But curious as far as like, where do you start with that? Like, I had a similar thought, you know, last summer with my skill set. I deal a lot with guest experience and customer service. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not only the attractions industry that needs that. Could I apply this to, you know, what industries are booming right now? Healthcare, technology, you know, whatever it is. And I thought, well, I don't even know who to, you know, I don't know what the first phone call to make is. So curious as far as like, you recognize the need that you need to take this skill set in a slightly different application. What do you do? What's the first step there?
Yeah, well, so I actually want to go the other way. I actually started in automotive and want to transition into theme entertainment. But I chose automotive strategically, knowing that my future goal was themed entertainment. Like you kind of said, I looked at
it has wheels, it moves, it's a car. It's the same technology.
Yeah, exactly that. I looked at all the rides that I liked, and one of the things that I found most interesting was the ride vehicles themselves. And I'm like, well, they're like cars. There's an element of safety there. There's an element of making it look a certain way, perform a certain way. It's got to be durable. These things run all the time. So obviously there's a ton of really useful things I can learn from the automotive industry. And then the automotive industry is huge, as you can imagine. At least the company I'm at has, hundreds of thousands of engineers. So even within that, trying to figure out where do I fit that will help me find those skills that will translate into themed entertainment was really important. So I was working in the early development with the innovations and the studio, getting engineers and creative designers to speak the same language, which is a useful skill no matter where you go, I believe. I was definitely looking to make sure that my skills would translate between the two industries that I love. And that was just kind of doing a lot of the way I figured out what skills I needed was by looking at job postings of future jobs that I'd love to apply to and be like, okay, I checked that box. I'm not so sure about that one. Where can I go within my company? What can I volunteer for will get me those sorts of skills? So that's one approach that I've taken.
With my approach, I had some internships before Disney that were in manufacturing before. And when I got to Disney, first thing I realized is that this is just a really colorful manufacturing plant. It's not creating magic. I mean, it is, but it's more manufacturing it. And I was also on a lot of preventative maintenance sides. So I was like, okay, this is manufacturing 101. I got this. So when March happened, I was like, okay, I need to go back into manufacturing. I need to find something where I'm operating very big devices and I need, either high volume or relatively low, I'm doing high volume outputs, but low volume equipment. And automotive is something where I'm doing giant things, throwing them around. And, I'm still doing a lot of safety stuff for either our operators, our mechanics, or the future driver that will be in that car. And I'm like, well, that's kind of themed entertainment in a nutshell. Like Paige was saying, you're looking at vehicle safety, but now I'm looking at more of the, using my skills from Disney is like, vehicle safety is a big thing, but I need to also look at operator safety. I need to look at mechanic safety of when you need to stick your head in that coaster, you don't die. How can I do that? The same thing with some type of arm over here. How can I program this to be the best it can? What skills can I? It's just a different skin. I mean, everything I've seen at this plant, I can point that out and be like, we've used this exact same thing at Disney. Mm-hmm. I've done this exact same thing before. I'm just doing car parts instead of guests or flying hot dog, Mickey Minnie. My projects sound a lot more serious and less goofy, but it's the same exact project.
What else? What other thoughts on being able to use the skills that you have with the long-term goal of being in the attractions industry and the themed entertainment industry, but really leveraging those, right now and kind of keeping to hone those and sharpen those skills to make sure that when there hopefully is a hiring boom coming, hopefully sooner rather than later, that that you'd be at the top of the list for people to call and say, I need to, need to call this person from, from their resume because they took the time during the pandemic to hone these skill sets. So curious as far as other ways that you all have been able to do that.
I also think that it's important not to lose sight of the industry as well. I know it's really difficult to get jobs right now and even to just maintain jobs in the industry. But I know for me personally, I'm so motivated to have my career be just the attractions in the theme park industry. And I was unable, after I got laid off from Disney, I couldn't find a job for 10 months. I had interviews, you know, I got ghosted. I would get emails from recruiters and then hear nothing. But when I eventually did find a job, I found it with Peacock TV, which is part of NBC Universal. And they're actually part of the Comcast umbrella, which has Universal Orlando Resort and Universal Studios Hollywood and the international parks under it. So my thought process with getting a job in there is technically it is entertainment, it's television. And also there may be people that I meet within this job that have either worked for the parks in the past or know people that work for the parks. So I think it's really important if you are going to try to find a job outside of the industry, still remember that networking is one of the most, one of the best ways to get ahead, because that was kind of my thought process in jumping into a new role was, can I meet people here that can help me get back to where I'm trying to go?
Yeah, Megan, I think that's really important, especially for somebody on the art side. It's like a lot of my training is for, you know, graphic design, and that's what I get hired at, but it's difficult for me to necessarily find a graphic design job that'll be able to fit perfectly with the entertainment or themed entertainment industry, because it is a factor and it is a subsection of entertainment, obviously, but it's such a niche within that that's on the opposite end of the industry I'm trying to get into. So it's trying to pick and choose the right applications and the right things to do, because I think at the beginning of all of this pandemic, when we were all lost, we all lost our jobs and we're all just sitting on our rooms with everything closed down. I think a lot of us, to get the unemployment, we're just kind of like, hey, LinkedIn, I'm just going to put an Indeed job here and a LinkedIn job here, and I'm really trying to find it. And so you're just applying to the jobs for the sake of applying to a job. And I think it's really important to not do that and to specifically look at, like you were saying, Megan, how can this particular job help me in my future, and how can it relate my skills back to the industry that I want to go into? And I think that's something that I'm struggling with and I'm trying to definitely do, but it's something that's really important to do.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I think this industry is way bigger than we initially think. Like, I remember when I first went to IAAPA and there was massage chairs and a whole section dedicated to bouncy castles. And I'm like, I didn't, like, when you think theme parks, you think roller coasters, you know, you think Cedar Point, you think Disney, you think Universal, Six Flags, and it's way bigger than that. And there's manufacturers across the sea, and there's little mom and pop places next door to where you live. And it's just meeting, like, I literally met somebody in the industry at my brother's football game back home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, like, you can meet people so many different places. And yeah, I'm probably not going to get a job with that guy, but I'm going to grow that relationship and, like, check out his park. You know, maybe we can work on something together down the road, or just stay friends and I get to hear about all the really cool stuff he does at his theme park. So yeah.
So I'd like to kind of follow that trail a little bit and talk a little bit about networking, because, you know, that's something that really scares a lot of people. And I've actually had the question a lot, well, how do I network now that there's no, you know, trade shows, now that there's no association, you know, meetings in person and things like that. So I'd love to hear, you know, what kind of things have you done that has helped you build those relationships? And, you know, maybe it is just running into somebody and maintaining a great friendship with them. Or, you know, Megan, you've mentioned LinkedIn. So I'd love to hear what some of those things are, because I think a lot of people, you know, may say, well, I want to network, but I have no idea what the first step is. Kind of like Josh talked about with the industries, right? What is that first step? So I'd love to hear some of those suggestions on, you know, what can people do as a first step if they want to network, but they just don't know what to do.
What I found useful is, like, some of these conventions are still going on. They might not be face to face, but these people are still stuck in their rooms the same as you. So, and if they're going to a convention, you see their name on the little room list. I mean, sometimes just shooting a, like, little PM, you know, be like, hey, I like the thing that you produce here, here, and here. Like, do you have a chance to talk about it? You know, like, want to have, like, a little coffee lunch thing? Because I'm just going to say, they're probably not going to be doing much either. I mean, their weekend is probably just going to be watching Netflix, and oh, then they might switch to Hulu. Ooh, big jump. Or so, Peacock. You know, don't be more than happy.
Yeah. Don't tell
or Megan. Peacock, or Peacock, yeah.
I don't hear it.
it's just like, you want that kind of thing where it's just like, everyone is in the same position and kind of they want everyone else to reach out to them. Sometimes you just need to take that first step, do that kind of cold call, see what happens. And if it happens, it happens. It's not always going to happen. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, you can, if you just keep sending out those invites to people, you know, have this, so, you know, be active in chats, do this, you know, you'll eventually hit something. And that thing can lead to another thing that can lead to another thing that can lead to another thing that can lead to another thing. And then here you're building up your network in the industry.
Sam, no, I think you make a really good point about reaching out to someone with a specific message. I can't tell you the amount of inbound requests I get on LinkedIn that are just so obviously copy and paste, and that reaching out for like, their benefit, and you're reaching out to compliment them on their work. So
look at their work and be like, hey, I saw you did work at XYZ company on ABC roller coaster. I've seen that roller coaster on YouTube. I really think it's cool. How'd you do it? And themed entertainment people, what I've learned the most is that they will never shut up about their projects. They will yammer on for hours and hours, because I've done it and I've only done like a couple small things, and my work has already heard so many details about so many things, and they're like, oh my god, if she mentions the word Slinky Dog Dash, like I'm just gonna walk out of this room. And I'm like, oh, did someone mention Slinky Dog?
people love talking about themselves, and that's true anyway.
Yeah.
I also think it's really important to kind of like we had a business seminar class at my art school, which I think was really important because we're artists, so we don't know how to talk to people. But I think what I learned is that you have to find things that you're passionate about and then find the people who worked on that and reach out to them. Because if you can share your passion, then you're connecting with them on a personal level, because art is always personal. So I think that's really important. And I also think it's really important to just kind of like, you know, shoot them a message or cold call or whatever. And you have nothing to lose when you do that. You really don't. You're scared. It's terrifying. I know. I feel it. Introverts over here, I get it.
But you're going to make that person's day of, exactly. Hey, I loved your artwork here. Like, can you tell me more? What was your thought process? Because that person, you know, like, they're going to be so happy when they see that email or LinkedIn message of like specific questions, not just be like, hey, can you get me a job?
Exactly. Yeah. And I learned a lot. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie We Bought a Zoo, which was forever ago, right? Yeah, but there's a quote in it that just says, 10 seconds of courage, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. And I like live by that whenever I'm freaked out and I don't want to do something. I'm like, I just need 10 seconds of courage and then I can go hide in a corner. That's all I need.
Fabiana, I really love that point, the 10 seconds of courage. I always live by the worst that can happen is they say no in the same way. So if you reach out to someone, they either ignore you or they're just not interested. And one thing that I think somebody mentioned is really important with networking. I think people have this idea of networking that I'm going to meet somebody, they're going to give me a job, and then I'm going to get the job. That's not the reality. Sometimes you can just meet people and introduce yourself just to have a connection, just to have somebody to share common interests with. And I think that's really important. So if you're gonna say hi to someone, maybe they don't work at the company you wanna work for, but just reach out and ask them about themselves, ask them about their job. Maybe they're not in the industry. Maybe you wanna be in theme parks and they're in escape rooms. It still doesn't hurt to get to know them. And who knows, maybe you'll make a friend, maybe you'll make a connection. And yes,
you never knew whose uncle's cousin's dog works at the company you want to work for.
Exactly. So don't always network with the idea that this person is going to get me a job. Sometimes just get a connection just to have either a friend or somebody to share common interests with.
Their uncle's cousin's dog could be Slinky Dog, right, Sam?
And we're
back. Did someone mention Slinky Dog?
Again, I think you make a really good point as far as, you know, reaching out to people and not having this assumption of this very quick linear experience from introduction to job. One of the things that I always talk about with networking is that think of it like a bank account, and you need to make a disproportionate amount of deposits before you can reach out to make a withdrawal. So those connections, reach out to people for no reason that will benefit yourself other than simply making a connection and starting to foster that relationship. And these seeds that you plant now, they could blossom 6 months from now. They could blossom 6 years from now. They, you know, it could be, you know, you, you tend to start to backtrack it and realize to say, wow, if I wouldn't have sent that message, if I wouldn't have walked up to that person and introduced myself, I would not be in the position that I am today. And it's cool to think about it retrospectively, but also thinking, all right, well, what are the seeds that I'm planting? What are the deposits that I'm making right now that, hopefully will benefit me in 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah. Well, and I think the mindset that Megan talks about, when you think, if this person is going to get me a job, then I am so much more nervous than just making a connection with someone, or talking about our favorite roller coaster, or talking about our favorite flavor of funnel cake, whatever it is, right? You know, that puts you so much more at ease than thinking, this is it. This is the person that's going to get me a job and I'm going to stay there for 30 years, because that's not going to happen either. So, you know, take that weight off your shoulders and just remember, it's just a connection. And even if, and I don't want to put this lightly, but even if all you get is a friend out of it, that's still pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I learned really well from a sorority sister is the best way to find jobs is not to like kind of go hammer people for jobs, is that you want to be the person that everyone wants to get a beer with. They always want to talk to you. They always want to hang out with you. And then sometimes they'll be like, hey, so I have this opportunity. I mean, I got my first job through her boyfriend and stuff, because her boyfriend was like, hey, your friend's cool. You know, and I would be invited over to like his groups and stuff. And he was like, hey, so I know my old company's hiring. I've already left it, but I know the manager there. I can give you a good recommendation. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, and I got the job, and that was my first internship, you know, and who knew that I actually got it through, because I knew somebody who was known at my university as the Jello Shot King. And that's who I decided to become friends with.
So if there was one last piece of advice that you all would have for a young professional out there today, what would that be?
Don't be scared. It's going to be fine. Like, I think a lot of times, especially going with the networking thing, I was and I am a Gryffindor. I am like a very extroverted person. And literally when it came down to just shaking, I'm fine shaking people's hands. I got a great handshake, let me tell you. But I would be so nervous to just take that first step. And also I realized it was just one, so in my head, and two, you have so many good things going for you that you probably don't even realize. Like, yeah, you have it all on your resume, but being able to talk to somebody, like a lot of interpersonal skills that you can't really, the soft skills that you can't really showcase on your resume, those go very far. And I think also, again, going back to the networking thing, reach out to people at your university, like alumni network. Those are great people to network with and is just such a good way to get your base, because you already have something in common, you know? And then if you add roller coasters to that, then you got another thing, or escape rooms, or love of peacocks, you know? Like the streaming service and the bird, then you got so much fun. And I think, especially like when I went to my first, I went to the Sky Next thing hosted by Skyline Attractions. And that was the first time I got to ride rides with people who love the theme park industry. And it was just such a cool experience. That what Mad said is totally true. If the worst thing you do is make a friend, I mean, you're going to be totally set, I think.
And I think to go off of that, do you want to go, Megan?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I think to go off of that, Kate, I think it's important to remember, like, this is what you're passionate about. So don't lose the passion and the love that you have for this. And don't be afraid to geek out and nerd out, because we're all geeks and we're all nerds. And I'm also a Gryffindor, but I'm also a Ravenclaw. So I don't know where I stand. And so it's like, don't forget the passion and don't forget your love for it. Because if you're, you know, putting it all in these details and putting all these pressures on it, you're going to lose that love.
I love that, Fabiana. And my advice would be, if you're passionate, get involved. Your best experience might not come from your job. For me personally, the most impactful thing I've ever done in this industry was be an IAPA ambassador. That was 1 week of my life where I got to make friends that shared my common interests and my passion. I got to network. I got to learn about not just theme parks, which is my area of the industry, but, you know, escape rooms, FECs, food and beverage, all the different parts of the industry. So if you can get involved, even not on the conventions, because I know we're not really doing that right now, but going onto a website, going onto a chat room for IAPA, AIMS, ASTM, whatever it is that you're interested in, get involved in an organization that'll help put you on the path where you want to go.
My advice would probably be, no matter where you are, whether it's still at school or whether internship, full-time job, never be afraid to like ask questions. I've gotten a lot of really positive remarks about how many questions I ask, and it's a lot. It seems to kind of help others start thinking in a different way. Or, you know, I know I learn best when I need to teach somebody else something. So it's kind of this rewarding cycle of, yes, you get to teach something, but you also get to build that foundation yourself. And then you get to think, oh, why are we doing it that way? You know, should we still be doing it that way? Is there a different way of doing something? So never be afraid to ask questions. It can be mutually beneficial. Don't worry about bothering your coworkers. They're happy to help.
Yeah.
My thing is to fail as much as possible. You need to fail fast, fail often, and learn from that, and just keep shooting your shot. Like, just, I like with job hunting, I call it resume shotgunning, that you just have to, you know, fire like a shotgun where all the pellets go everywhere. You may not have a direct hit, but you may scratch something, and you'll be amazing how much a scratch can do, and you just have to keep firing.
Awesome. This was really interesting. I'm really glad that we all had the chance to get together today and to have this conversation. I think this is incredibly useful and very timely, and of course, incredibly beneficial for the entire industry, regardless, you know, if you're a young professional who's, you know, looking for the next step, or if you're an employer looking to start thinking about recruiting talent again, and you're getting this wave of resumes in, you know, what is it, you know, what is it that's going to stick out? And I think that these are, you know, some great tools and great tips for both of those. So thanks so much, everyone, for being here today and for having this amazing conversation. Because of course, as we know, we are all Attraction Pros.
Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release. And even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.